Good morning, everybody. We've had the privilege of having the children during the conference meetings, and we've been averaging in the 80s every night. Every time you have a meeting, we've had about 8 over there, and we've had a good time with them, believe it or not. Some of those that left are in our meeting, so we're used to some of these little ones, a wide variety of ages, 4 to 12, and we're thankful for the Lord working in hearts. Since we've been here this week, we've had 3 that have come up, are concerned about their soul and about their eternal salvation. And we just are so delighted and praise the Lord for that. That's what it's all about. And we appreciate your continued prayers for the effort. Well, we have been doing a series of lessons on the life of Moses. Ever since the Prince of Egypt came out, we thought it would be a good topic to discuss with the children, since they're already aware. Most of them have seen that film, that video. And we've been going through his life from his babyhood, which is so parallel to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord, too, his life was threatened when he was a baby. We heard about that this early morning service today. And just as Moses' life was threatened, as Pharaoh was throwing all the baby boys into the river Nile. Well, we have proceeded to last night where we had the challenge between Moses and Pharaoh. Pharaoh challenged Moses to prove that he was God's messenger. So how was Moses going to prove this? Well, he did it by throwing his rod on the ground. And what did the rod turn into, children? Snake. That's right, a snake. A very powerful snake, wasn't it? Well, we have brought along one of Pharaoh's magicians. You know, the magicians did the same thing. They threw their rods on the ground, and they became snakes. Now, our magician, I don't know if he's going to throw a rod on the ground and become a snake. Would you like to see that? But anyway, all the way from Ramses in Egypt, we have brought along one of Pharaoh's magicians. Now, they were famous for all that they could do. Now, we know that they had certain powers and abilities. We believe that they were empowered by Satan. But our magician is not that way at all. He's empowered by the Lord. But he still has a few magic tricks up his sleeve. So we're going to call on our brother Ross, and he's going to show you some of those magician tricks that they pulled on Moses.
Man, I wish I had a rod to throw down in front of Allen's feet, I'll tell you that. All right. Okay. Now, Brother Allen, see, it's 2 empty containers, right? You doubt it. Put on your glasses, man. See? Yeah, put on them floaty glasses. There you go. They look empty? Okay, you got to look up this way. We'll see if I can make 4 U.S. quarters come out of this one right here. All right? Think I could do that? Come on, speak up. Yeah? Okay. There we go. Can you see him, Alan? Okay. Think I'd get 4... No, sir. I like talking to you. I might as well tell you. See if I can make 4 more come out of this one, all right? Can everybody see that? All right. Wonder if I can make them disappear again. I don't want you to take my quarters. It's 4 gone. 4 more gone. I'm not going to tell you how it's done either, Alan. Okay, now I need Brother Alan. That's who I need to come up. Come on up, Brother Alan. Give him a hand, folks. Give him a hand. Yeah. You know, it's a chorus we used to sing, "The devil is a sly old fox." If I could catch him. No, I'm not talking about you now. I don't know. The devil is a sly old fox. If I can catch him, I'll put him in a box. The problem is we can't catch him to put him in a box, right?
True.
And the Bible tells us that, you know, Satan, the chains of sin, does what? Bind. So just like we got four ropes coming out of this ball, right? Okay, you see that, Brother Allen? Four ropes, okay. I'm going to put it in this box, all right? I'm going to close the top. See? Okay. Now, that magician needs a joke to me. Come on, let's go.
What do you want?
All right. I'm going to tie this rope up over the box. See? You could vouch for the people if they can't see, right? See, the rope's tied up over the box, right? One rope's up over the box. Now, I want you to hold the cover. Make sure the cover don't come undone. You could hold the rope, too. You could put your finger on the rope. You got it.
I got it.
You sure?
Yes, sir. Unless you do something violent.
Right. You got it. Folks, he says he's got it. Alan, you said you had the cover.
He's not as dumb as he looks. That's pretty good. How'd you do that?
All right, you can go sit down now. Thanks so much for the kind comments. Grayling, you can give him a slap whenever you want. Okay, a lot of folks have seen this, right, before? Yeah, but maybe got some visitors here that ain't seen it. This is an horseshoe with another ring or something on it. It's all welded together, as you can see. See, Brother Phil, you check it out for him. See, it's welded on, right?
Yeah, it's welded.
It's welded. Okay. Now, we just finished saying about what the chains of sin does is it binds us, right? But what happens when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and ask Him to come into our hearts? What happens? The chains of sin are what? Broken, loosened, and we're free, right? And that's what I'm going to see if I can get this off of this without undoing the welding, all right? Okay. Let's see now. Might take me a little while. You watching? Okay. I'll put it back on for you. Same way. All right. One more little trick. Brother Allen might be able to figure this one out because this is not too smart, you know. Okay. All right. Let me see. We may not know too much about traffic lights in the Bahamas because we don't have too many in Spanish Wells, you know what I'm saying? But they got plenty of them in the States. What colors we got up here, Brother Billy? See, I'm picking in somebody else now. Red, yellow, and green. You sure? Huh? Well, me? Thank you, brother. I look pretty smart, and I'll tell you that. Okay, we got red, green, and yellow, right? What are they now? No. Uh-uh. You said there was red, green, and yellow. Huh? What color are they now? No, you're getting mixed up now. What color are they now? What color are they now?
Red, white.
There you go. Okay. All right. So much for Merlin the Magician. All right.
You said it was on. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Okay. Well, they had quite a showing in Pharaoh's court as Pharaoh watched Moses turn his rod into a snake. But what happened to the snakes of the magicians? Who was listening last night? Whoa, what happened to all the snakes of the magicians? You look bright. Yeah, that's right. God's snake got him. That's right. Ate all of the magician's snakes. And it surely proved that God was on Moses' side. Well, Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, refused to let the Hebrews leave their country. He would not let God's people go. So God began to work some punishing miracles or plagues upon the Egyptians. These plagues were meant to prove to Pharaoh that he was the true and living God. And God said that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And also that Israel will know that I am the Lord God of all the earth. To prove that he truly was the only God. Some people, boys and girls, like to fool you into thinking that there's many gods on this earth. But the Bible teaches there's only one God. There are not many gods. There's only one God. Some of these people are known as Jehovah's Witness, and they'll come and talk to you about this, and they'll try to convince you that there are many gods. But no, there's only one God. The Bible's very clear about this. Well, Aaron took Moses' rod, and he struck the water of the river. For Pharaoh was not willing to let God's people go. And when he did this, what happened to the water of the river Nile? It turned to what? It turned to blood. Now, the magicians were quite amazed at this. But you know, they had a few tricks up their sleeve as well. They thought whatever Moses could do, they could do just as well. So Pharaoh called the magicians. And he wanted to show Moses how they too could turn water into blood. Now, is that possible? Can you turn water into blood? But notice what they did. We don't know how they do it. We know they had more powers than what we have. But before Pharaoh, they turned water into blood right before them. Now, the Bible says that they turned some water into blood. That's what they did. Some water. Huh. But you know what Moses did? Moses turned all the waters into blood. All the rivers of Nile, all the lakes, all the ponds, all the marshes, all the water in Egypt he turned into blood. Magicians turned some water into blood. Who was greater? Satan or God? God was showing that he was far superior. Well, we're going to use this again a little bit later. We'll just put it right here. That was the very first of the punishing miracles upon the Egyptians. These first three plagues that you see on the screen happened to both the Hebrews and the Egyptians. It was widespread throughout all of Egypt. The very first one, water into blood. The following week, Moses warned Pharaoh that another plague would come if he would not release the people of Israel and allow them to leave the land. But Pharaoh paid no attention. He would not listen to God, for he had his own magicians, and he thought they were just as powerful. So what did God do with his second punishing miracle? God sent what? Number two? Who remembers? Frogs. Frogs into the land. They came by the millions. They came into every house, every place where mankind lived. They were everywhere. When you went to go to bed at night and you pulled back your sheets, guess who was waiting for you? Ah, those lovely frogs. How many of you like frogs? Oh, yes. Aren't they wonderful? You ever put them in your pocket? No. You do, don't you? Well, you know, you didn't have to put them in your pockets. They were everywhere. They were a nuisance. When you walked down the sidewalk, down the street, you stepped on frogs. Squish, squish. Are you used to doing that with cockroaches?
Yeah.
Well, this was with frogs. When you sat in a chair, you sat on frogs. When you laid in bed, you laid on frogs. When you were making bread dough, frogs got into your bread dough. When you opened up containers, frogs were everywhere. Good thing they didn't have microwaves in those days. Whoa, what a mess. Well, frogs were everywhere. Everywhere they went, there was no end to the frogs. Now, Pharaoh's magicians came along. And Pharaoh says, see if you can make frogs like Moses did. Now, they were able to turn water into blood. How about making frogs? Well, let me tell you, it's not too difficult when you already have millions of them to make more of them. I need a helper up here. Let's see if we can make some, well, we're not going to make frogs, but something like that. I need a good helper now. You have to even look smart. Oh, this is going to be tough, I know. Okay, how about way back here? Right here. You want to do it? Come on up. Yeah, come on up. Can you help me? All right. Stand right over here. Now, you see we got a few balls laying up here, don't we? Now, what I want you to do is to help me make some more balls out of these balls. Okay, got a big hand? Let's see how big your hand is. Make it real big. You got to hold all these balls. I'm going to put these balls into your hand. Okay, oh, here we go. Hold them real tight. Squeeze them tight. Got them real tight? All right. Now, I want you to take them out and multiply. Okay, open them up and start taking the balls out. How many we got? One, two. Well, you did a good job. How many balls did you find? I thought you had two. Wow, give them a hand. That was great. Good job. Well, don't go away. You got more to do. I thought I would call on you rather than Ellen. All right, here we go. Got your hand out again? All right, let's see if we can get them all together. Now you got to use both hands this time. See if we can get more of them. Okay, can you feel them growing? Are they expanding? Can you feel something? All right, let's see if you can do it. Let's make more balls. Take them out one by one. One, two. Whoa. Give him a hand. He got four of them. Good job. Excellent work. Thank you. Well, you know, once you have something to work with, it's not too hard to multiply. Now, I don't know how these balls had babies, but those frogs had a lot of babies. And man, were they multiplying throughout the whole land of Egypt. I tell you, those magicians were not slackers, were they? They were pretty good. And because they were able to make frogs like Moses, not as many, again, Pharaoh would not listen to Moses and to what God wanted them to do. But you know what? There was one problem that magicians had. They couldn't get rid of the frogs. As hard as they tried, the frogs would not disappear. But Moses was able to do this. And he allowed the frogs to die. And the people, it says, piled them in heaps throughout their towns and villages. And what a stench filled the land. Millions of frogs. Boy, I tell you, if you like frog legs, that was paradise. Well, then God told Moses to go to the third punishing miracle. And that was to take his rod and to strike the dust of the ground. Aaron did this and obeyed God. And when Aaron took Moses' rod and struck the dust of the ground, what appeared? Number three. What are those?
Lice.
Good job. Lice. And lice covered everything. It was in your hair. It was on your animal's hair and fur. It was everywhere. Lice was everywhere upon the land. The magicians tried to cause lice to appear this time. And Ross came forward and he tried his best. But you know what they found out? They could not make lice. They could make the frogs. They could turn water to blood. But they couldn't do the lice. Why was that? They admitted that there was a power at work in Egypt that was beyond their ability. Far greater than they had ever, ever experienced their entire lives. But Pharaoh's heart was stubborn. He would not listen to God. He thought he could put up with water that was turned to blood, frogs everywhere, and now lice. Well, the next time that Moses and Aaron met King Pharaoh, they brought with them some very bad news. Because Pharaoh had hardened his heart and was not willing to let the people of God go, they told him that God would bring swarms of flies throughout the land of Egypt. Flies that would be such a nuisance that you could not escape them. But Moses and Aaron told Pharaoh, these miracles would not take place in the land of Goshen, the place where the Hebrews lived. No more would the Hebrews be bothered with these miracles, but only the Egyptians. The Lord did as he said. The flies were everywhere. To me, this is one of the most interesting plagues that hit the land of Egypt. It got in people's eyes. They got in their clothes. The flies got in their food. It added protein flavor to everything they ate. All the Egyptians were tormented with the plague of flies. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived where there's a lot of flies, but I grew up in a country-type area. And you know what we would do on the farming communities to get rid of flies? They would hang these strips of sticky paper. They would hang them over the dining room table. They would hang them everywhere in the house because the flies would land on them and they would not take off again. They would be stuck. Oh, flies are a nuisance to get rid of them. Well, at last Pharaoh could not endure the flies anymore. And he sent for Moses. And he said, Moses, I tell you what, I will let your people go. But they can only leave this area. They cannot leave Egypt. They have to worship their God within the borders of Egypt. You cannot go outside of Egypt. But Moses would not agree. He said, no, Pharaoh, that will not do. For you see, Moses knew that the Egyptians worshiped cattle. Oxen was one of their gods. And if the Egyptians saw Moses and the people of Israel sacrificing their animals as God had required them to do so, that they would revolt, they would be upset, and they would kill the Israelites for killing their gods. And Moses said, no, we need to go outside the country. We need to take a 3-day trip outside of Egypt and worship our God. Oh, said Pharaoh, I tell you what, you can go, but just don't go too far. Stay on the borders. Do you know what, boys and girls? That's exactly what Satan wants people to do. God wants, did we get a fly in here? Isn't that interesting? Satan wants God's people to be bordersome Christians. Don't go too far in your faith. Just kind of keep one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. Don't commit yourself. Don't become a fanatic. Don't go outside the borders, so to speak. That's Satan's cry. That's one of his ways to get to us. It's one of his lies. You know, Christians are no use. Are no use to the Lord when they become border Christians. You see, these kind of Christians only seek to enjoy themselves in this life. They're not living for the life, the world to come. They're border Christians. Oh, they say they're saved. They know the Lord, just as Pharaoh knew that these were Hebrew people of God. But yet, he didn't want them to go far away. God wants us to leave. He wants us to leave the old life. All things are become new, he says. The old are passed away. We're pressing on. We're leaving behind the old life. And we're going towards what God wants us to do. Moses then asked God to remove the flies. And as soon as the land was relieved of the plague of flies, guess what Pharaoh did? He again refused to let the people of Israel leave. It's surprising, you know, sometimes how people have to be punished before they will listen to God. Do you ever notice that? Sometimes they get to the bare bottom before they'll ever respond to God. That's the way it was with Pharaoh. Pharaoh would not respond. God, you see, means what he says. He will do what he says. And he did so to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. Number five, the very next day, God sent the fifth deadly plague. And what happened on day plague five? All the cattle, the herds, began to die throughout Egypt. They died by the thousands. And when Pharaoh sent a message to Goshen, he learned that the Hebrew cattle and flocks were all alive, but the Egyptian flocks were all dying. Still, in his mind, Pharaoh remained unchanged. He would not heed God, despite the tremendous obstacles and punishments he was facing in his life. Next, God told Moses and Aaron to take handfuls of fine ash and to throw them up in the air. And when they did, painful sores called boils broke out upon all the Egyptians. Pharaoh's magicians were in such agony with the boils that they could not come and try to imitate God's miracles. They were so afflicted themselves. You know, God has a sense of humor. It's very, very clear that God was affecting all the Egyptians. But Pharaoh did not take this punishment to heart any more than the rest. The Bible says he hardened his heart once again. What was God going to do? Number seven. Oh, it was a terrible miracle, a terrible plague. Each one became more severe than the previous one. You know, that's what God does. When we don't listen to God, when we don't respond to God, the next thing that comes into our life is even more difficult than the previous. The punishment is even greater. So, God through Moses said to Pharaoh, "This time, I am going to send a plague that will prove to you, to your servants, to all the Egyptian people, that there is no other God in all the earth." God could have killed them all by now, but he didn't. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't take people's lives. He puts them through difficulties when they don't listen to him. "Tomorrow about this time," he said, "I will send a hailstorm across the nation such as never has been seen before upon the earth. And anyone who is in the fields, man or beast, will die by the hailstorm." Can you imagine hail so great that it would kill mankind and cattle and beasts and everything? The storm broke. The thunder, the hail, the lightning was terrible beyond description. You think hurricanes are bad? You should have been in that hailstorm, for nothing would survive. Never in all the history of Egypt had there been such a storm. Everything left in the fields was left to die. The trees were all shattered. The crops were destroyed. Vegetation was flattened to the ground by the hail. The only spot in Egypt that did not face the hail was where? Where was the only place that did not see hail? Where? Where the Jews were living. The land of Goshen. Thoroughly terrified, Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, "I admit that I have sinned this time." It's interesting how he kept confessing himself. How he kept saying he was wrong. But you know, it never changed his heart. Ah, there's a repentance unto salvation that leads to godly sorrow. "I have admitted I sinned this time," he said. "Pray the Lord to stop this hail. There has been enough. I will let you and your people go." That's what he said to Moses. But even after this promise, Pharaoh became stubborn and he refused to release them. Guess what? God came back again with Moses and Aaron. "Pharaoh, because you have decided not to release my people, I am going to send another plague." "How long will you refuse me?" he pleaded. "Let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse tomorrow, I will cover the entire nation with a plague of locusts. Plague of locusts, like grasshoppers. So that you can't even see the ground," God said. "And they will destroy everything that's left from the hailstorm." And Moses walked out of Pharaoh's presence. Now, the Egyptians knew how terrible a plague this could be. They understood what locusts could do. And they hurried to Pharaoh. And they said, how long are you going to let this Moses bring destruction on us? Let the Hebrews go. Will you not understand that Egypt is already ruined? And at once Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron back into his presence. Go and worship God. But who will go with you? He said. And Moses said, we will take all of our people, our flocks, our herds, and everything. Oh, no, you won't, said the angry king. Take only the men with you. I will not allow you to take the children. That was interesting. You know, this was another one of devil's tricks, one of another Satan's ploys. Why didn't he want them to take the children? Oh, you know, there's a lie out there. You know what that lie says? It comes from Satan. The lie is that God is only for old people. That the worshiping of God is meant only for those who are grown up. It's not for the children. How can children give their lives to God? How can children live for God? Oh, they say it's okay for old people. But you know, you young people, you gotta let them sow their wild oats. You gotta let them go out and live a little bit. They'll eventually come around. You just got to release them to let them do as they want. There's plenty of time when they get older to attend to the worship of God and to spiritual things. But you know what, boys and girls? God wants you. He doesn't want Satan to have you. God wants to keep you. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, Satan's lie is to wait until you're older. No, that isn't what God desires. Watch out for this deception of the enemy. Why not purpose in your heart that you will follow after God in his ways? Pharaoh says, you can go, but leave the children. Oh, no. No, no, no. Don't leave the children. The children must come with you. They, too, need to follow God in all of their hearts and in all of their ways. Soon afterwards, the locusts came, great clouds of them, covering the earth as God said they would. And Pharaoh hastily summoned Moses and Aaron once again. And once again he says, I have sinned against God. Oh, it was easy for him to confess his wrongdoings. Oh, yes, it was. But his heart wasn't right with God. I have sinned, he said. Forgive my sin only this once. And ask your God to remove this terrible plague. Why was he doing this? Because he wanted to get what he wanted. He was using this for his own purposes. And Moses did what Pharaoh begged him to. The Lord sent a strong west wind that blew the locusts out into the Red Sea. But again, the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Oh, how sad. So many opportunities. There comes a time when God will not let you have another opportunity. You understand that, boys and girls? Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Because if you keep refusing God when you're young, as you get older, he may not allow you the opportunity. The book of Hebrews is very clear about this, that God hardens hearts. And so God did to Pharaoh. He had his opportunities, but he rejected them. It's a serious thing to fall into the hands of a living God. God then told Moses to stretch his hand toward heaven. And Moses did so. And when he did, a great darkness came upon the face of the land of the Egyptians. For how many days?
3 days
it became dark. What does darkness remind us of? Sin. Men love darkness rather than light. You know, the Bible tells us that we are born in sin. But you know, it's not that we're just born in sin. We also practice sin. We live in sin. Now, how many sins does it take for us not to be able to go to heaven? How many sins? Oh, only one. Let's put one sin in there. What happened to that clear water? Can you see what's happening? Oh, but do you only sin one time? Oh, no. Let's put a couple more sins in there. And what happens? Oh, our hearts become dark, become black with sin. Yes,
we're shapen in iniquity, and we live in sin. Oh, God will never let this into his heaven. For all that is in heaven has to be perfect, without sin. We are without hope because we are sinners. What do we need to get rid of our dark sin within us? Oh, the blood of the Lord Jesus. His blood, the Bible says, will wash us, clean us, make us fit for heaven. The blood of, how precious is this blood of Jesus? What would we be like without the blood of Jesus? We would be sinners condemned, astray from God. But oh, the blood. When we apply the blood, what happens to our sin? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now that's a miracle, boys and girls, that we can be clean and fit for heaven. That's what Jesus does for us. You know, for 3 days, the Egyptians, they had to live in darkness. But the Jews lived in the light. They had the light of the day. You know, Pharaoh didn't want them to go. Remember when Moses asked if the people of Israel could leave and go into the wilderness and worship God? What did he say they were doing? He said they were being lazy. They just wanted a vacation. And he took their straw away and he told them they had to find their own straw. And he made them work harder. Now, God gave his people a vacation. For 3 days, the Egyptians could not work, but the Jews had light. You know what they did for 3 days? They rested. They vacationed. They got ready for the trip that was coming. God takes care of his people. Are you one of his people? Ah, it's wonderful to know that God is on your side. Many attempts were made with Pharaoh to compromise, with Pharaoh, to compromise the Jews going to worship God. You know, Satan uses those same tricks today. He tries to appeal to us and say, don't go too far away. Stay close. Don't go past the borders. Ah, that's Satan's deception. There's no need to separate yourself from us. You can worship God where you are. You can go to the golf course and worship God. You can go to the ocean and worship God. You don't have to separate yourself from the world. But you know, that isn't what God says. God says that, come ye apart and be ye separate. He wants us to be separate from the world. Satan says, be a Christian if you want, but don't openly declare yourself. You see, Satan objects to separation from sin. Satan doesn't want you to separate from sin or from the world. He wants you to live in the world and to be part of the world. He tries to convince us that we can be yielded Christians and still be in the land and be in the world. He says that you can still enjoy sin and still live for God. That isn't what God says, boys and girls. God says if you're going to follow him, you need to separate yourselves. No longer are pleasures found in sin, into that which is wrong and evil. Now, you know what's wrong and evil. No one has to tell you that. God's spirit within you tells you that. And when you are watching something, maybe on television, you can say right away, you know if it's right or wrong. God says if you're my people, you will separate yourself from that. You won't try to enjoy what is wrong and live for God at the same time. Cannot be done. God will not use that person. In fact, you know that person that tries to live by the borders. You know what that person does? He hinders others from coming to Christ. That's right. He no longer has a testimony for God. People know about this. Oh, God calls us to come apart and be separate and live for God, boys and girls. You can do this. Even in your youth, you can live for the Lord Jesus. Do others look at you and say that you're a believer and that you're living for the Lord? You see, God's concerned about everything in our life. You see, he's concerned not only about what we watch, but he's concerned about what kind of friends we have. who we hang out with, he's concerned. You know, he's concerned about what we listen to. Maybe the jokes we tell. Do you know that being a Christian is not just for Sunday? Being a Christian is every day of the week. Oh, may the Lord encourage you to live for Him. Have your sins been washed? Have you been made clean? Then come apart and be ye separate, says the Lord. Don't follow Satan's lie and just go to the border. No, come apart. Live for God. Make your life count. Even while you're young. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we have you in our life. Oh, we're so thankful that you made it possible for us to have our sins forgiven and cleansed. Oh, we thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus. Where would we be without it? And Lord Jesus, we pray for each life in this room this morning, that if there are those without Christ, they will turn to you today. Before the sun goes down, they will say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for my sin. And Lord, for us who know you, oh, may we live separated lives. Like when the plague of flies came, Pharaoh was willing to let them go to the border. Oh, may we not be deceived by that. Moses wasn't. He said, no, we will not do that. Or when the other plague came, and he said, oh, you can take all but the children. No, we will not allow that, said Moses. We will not be deceived by Satan. We thank you this morning that we can live lives for you. We can make our lives count for eternity by saying no to sin and yes to God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.